Please do take a seat. Let me welcome you along this morning. It's really good to see you in the room and joining us online. My name's George Hawkins, if we've not met before. I'm part of the staff team here. And it's really good to have a number of guests with us today. We're really glad to have you in the room with us, particularly if this is your first time in the building or first time back for a while. It's lovely to see you. It'd be nice, as it's Easter Sunday, to give one another a little bit of a greeting. We can't go around and shake hands, but we can give each other a nice wave. Callum Pike loves this bit. So let's have a good wave and greet one another if you're in the room. And wave online, that'll be great too. Lovely, nice to see you. Thanks for that enthusiasm. Perfect. Great. We're going to be looking at that passage in 1 Corinthians. So if you do have a Bible and you want to turn back to it, that would be really helpful. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And before we do that together, I'm going to pray for us. Lord, it's so good to be able to come on Easter Sunday and to remember that Jesus is risen. Thank you. We don't just come to remember him, but we can even speak with him. And Lord Jesus, we do that now so gladly that we come to read and to think about your great resurrection for us and the implications of that. Lord, please instruct us by your Spirit. Please lead us by your grace. And please move our hearts today because we ask those things in Jesus' name. Amen. In September 2017, Eddie Izzard, the comedian, gave an interview to The Guardian. And here's what Izzard said during that particular interview. I have a very strong sense that we are only on this planet for a short length of time, and that is only growing. Religious people might think it goes on after death. My feeling is that if that is the case, it would be nice if just one person came back and let us know it was all fine, all confirmed. Of all the billions of people who've died, if just one of them could come through the clouds and say, you know, it's me, Janine, it's brilliant, there's a really good spa, then that would be great. Izzard was looking for someone who had gone through death and come out the other side, for just one person to come back and tell us what it's all about. Today, this morning, Easter Sunday, tells us that is exactly what has happened. Someone has come back from the dead to tell us that life goes on afterwards, and his name is Jesus Christ. Let me give you another quote, this time from Queen Elizabeth. Here's what she said last year after we had just gone into lockdown. She said, Easter isn't cancelled. Indeed, we need Easter as much as ever. The discovery of the risen Christ on the first Easter day gave his followers new hope and fresh purpose, and we can all take heart from this. We've walked, haven't we, through a whole year where the statistics of death have been regularly presented to us. This time last year, we had been just a few weeks into the very first lockdown. We did Easter Sunday, if you remember, with Dave speaking to camera with the wall covered behind with the Easter pictures that the kids had done. Maybe some of you remember doing those particular pictures. Remember that? Seems like in some ways 3, 4, 7 years ago, doesn't it? And in other ways, just a few weeks ago. Little did we know that we would have 12 months of social distancing and hand sanitizing and rule of six and face masks and work from home and clapping on doorsteps and at last count over 127,000 deaths within a month of a COVID test. I guess if ever we have needed hope, if ever we've needed what Izzard was looking for, a reason to believe that death is not it, then this was the year. And so I'm here to tell you this morning on the authority of what God tells us himself, that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead and that the tomb is empty and therefore there's hope in the face of death. That's the Easter story. That's the heart of Christianity. And I want to see as we open up the Bible this morning, as we look at that passage that was read for us, that's a hope we can be confident in. I don't know if any of you have got letters at home that you've kept over a number of years. I have a small little drawer of letters, most of them sent, I guess, just over the past 10 years or so. Well, this letter that we've got open in front of us was written 2,000 years ago. It was written about 20 to 30 years after the events about Jesus that it describes. So soon enough for the memories to be really fresh, but a little while after so the events could be considered and reflected on, not just reacted to. This is really important stuff for us to listen into this morning. And I've got three things I want to share with you this Easter Sunday, that Easter Sunday tells us. And the first is this, that Easter Sunday lets us know there's good news to respond to. There's good news to respond to. If you have a look down at verse 1, if you've got the Bible open, the writer here, Paul, one of the followers of Jesus, says, I want to remind you of the gospel that I preach to you. Gospel means, very simply, good news. Good news. And if you look through the whole letter here that Paul has written, actually, there's quite a lot of difficult news in this particular letter. There's quite a lot of difficult things that Paul needed to write about. It's a church that's in quite a lot of mess. We're going to begin a series in a couple of weeks on this book on Sunday mornings. So we're going to get into that and see more of that. But here Paul talks about the fact there is good news. And he says, I'm reminding you of this gospel, this good news. So it's not new news for them. It's not something they weren't aware of. But it is definitely good news that Jesus was raised to life. And I suppose during this past 12 months, we've been desperately waiting for some good news. Good news of falling rates and falling numbers in hospital beds, or when the vaccines would come online, or when we could move about more freely. Boris and Patrick and Chris, Johnson, Valance and Whitty, they have stood at their lecterns, haven't they? And normally when it's been the big three, you know, it's either been very bad news, hasn't it? We're going into lockdown. Or it's been very good news that something is easing up. But, you know, the best news that those guys can bring is that death rates are falling and vaccines are coming and normality is getting closer. But that's the best news that they can bring us. Because the really obvious stat about death is always the same, isn't it? One out of one die. That's the reality. It's absolutely inevitable. The steps of the past year might have postponed death or delayed it, but they don't cancel it. And let's not pretend that they can do that. But Paul says, I'm here to give you good news, which is so, so much better than that. And it is this, that death is not the end. That's what Paul's good news is going to be. Death is not all there is. As somebody has put it, the last thing is not the worst thing for the person who knows Jesus. And Easter Sunday shouts to us that somebody has come back from the dead, that one person, Jesus, has risen, and risen never to die again. Now, the Bible records a few people who were brought back to life. Not many, but just a few who were brought back. And those people who were raised to life by God's power, well, they died again. They died again. I wonder if you've ever felt really sorry for Lazarus, a friend of Jesus, who Jesus raised to life because he died twice. Had two lots of funerals. That was his story. But all those little resurrections, those little moments when people were raised to life, and not many of them, but they were indicators of what was going to come with Jesus. And Jesus would rise to life, rise from the dead to a new life and never to die again. He was raised to a new kind of life, a different kind of life. And what that means for us today is if we're joined to him, if we're connected to him, then we will do the same. That will be our hope. So yes, of course, one day we will die, but it won't be the end. That Jesus will be with us in death. He has authority over death. And that is gospel today. That is good news today that that's the case. If you've ever thought about Christianity, that Christianity is all about how life should be more dull or more boring or more restrictive, or it's about telling you what you can and can't do, that it just sucks out life, you haven't understood that at the heart of everything is a solid, clear, certain answer to the universal problem, the problem we all have, that the moment we begin to live is the moment we begin to die. Christianity is good news because it says Jesus is the answer to death. And that is good news. It's good news as well to react to and to respond to. Paul says here in these verses that they receive the good news. They received it. It's no good just to be aware of the news. We need to receive it, to accept it. The truth about Jesus being raised, will only change your life if you receive it for yourselves. And what does that mean? Well, Paul says here, you've taken your stand on this good news. It is good news to take a stand on. If you stand on something, you want it to be really solid, don't you? You want it to be solid. As you can see, those of you in the room, I'm a pretty colossal 5'6". And that means in our back room, where we have our bookshelves, on the top shelf, where the games are kept, I can't reach the games. Almost from that picture, it looks like I can, but the reality is I can't. And so to get a game down from the top shelf, I've got to find a suitable chair. Now, the options, you can see a couple of the options in the room. Those are the chairs that live in the room normally. There's the IKEA Poang chair. Now, that will not be able to bear my weight. Those of you who've got one of those know that they bounce up and down. They are not that solid. The other option is a little rocking chair, which has been in the family for years. If I stand on the rocking chair, Mum, if you're listening to this, I never stand on the rocking chair. Because the rocking chair is very old and very brittle. The dilemma is I'm battling my laziness to walk into the dining room where we have very much more solid chairs. Those are the chairs I really need to fetch to get a game down from the shelf. Some of us are betting on chairs today that we hope will take the weight. But there's no reason to think that they will. We're betting that if there is something after death, then we'll probably be okay. We'll probably be on the right side of that. If you wait for the next celebrity to die in the coming week or two, there'll be lots of tributes, won't there, about sleeping well or resting in peace or until we meet again or those kind of things. Words with a sort of vague hope that express some sense that life is not just finished and over. But the gospel tells us there is something much more solid than that. Can I ask you, what's the strength of your hope today? What chair are you standing on? This sense that when life is finished and over, that there might be something more. Can I ask you, if you just got vague hope today, is that bearing the weight of all your hopes? The good news, the solid news of Easter is that Jesus is raised from the dead. That is the most solid hope. And that's why we talk about this every Easter. In fact, every Sunday morning we gather, we talk about this. It's why we meet on a Sunday. It's the day of the week when Jesus rose. That's why we gather on this day of the week. So this is good news. It's received and we take a stand on it. We stake everything on it being true. I remember hearing one Christian minister talking about the days when he really didn't want to get up out of bed and do what was on his job list. We've all got loads of days like that, haven't we, where that's the case. And he would say he would always have to ask himself the question, is Jesus still risen from the dead? And he would say to himself, yes, he's still risen from the dead. And so he told himself to get up out of bed because that made everything worthwhile. You see, Jesus risen from the dead changes everything, shapes how you see life now. And if life continues after death, then what it means is that this life is not everything there is. It means that it's not all about all we can do now and maximizing everything now and all the pleasure we can suck out now and the stuff or the achievements. It's so freeing to know this reality. Paul says as well as it being a gospel we receive and we take our stand on, it's a gospel by which we're saved. You see, our big problem is that death is that grim reality that none of us want to talk about, yet all of us are going to face. And the Bible is very helpful to tell us that death is not just a sort of, it's not just there. It's come about because we've turned away from God and we've done our own thing in his world. And that's brought trouble for us and it's brought trouble for others. We need a rescue big enough to cope with death. We need a rescue which will enable us to stare the grave in the face, to attend a funeral and to say, this is not the end. And I'm saying to you this morning, on the authority of what God has said, that Jesus has broken through death. And so we can too. That is good news. That is good news. So Easter Sunday lets us know there's good news to respond to. Secondly, it says there are good reasons to believe. There are good reasons to believe. Now, you might say this morning, along with Eddie Izzard, that if you could talk to somebody who'd come back from the dead, then it would make all the difference. If we could just do that, that would certainly make a difference. But let's be honest today, Jesus isn't here to talk to physically, is he? We can't do that. Oprah can't interview him. Can't give a press conference at Downing Street. He's not going to post on his blog later this afternoon. We don't have that. And we don't have that not because Jesus died later on. We don't have that because he's now in heaven waiting to come back, waiting for another day when he will appear to all of us. But the Bible tells us that on that first Easter Sunday, the day he rose, from the day he rose to the day he went back to heaven, there were 40 days, just under 6 weeks, and he was still on earth in that time. And what happened? Well, he was seen. He was seen. People, he spoke to people. Different people, different situations, different places. And Paul tells us about some of that here. Paul tells us there are critical things here. Things he describes of first importance to get about what happened. Tells us that Christ died for our sins. It reminds us first that Jesus' death was purposeful, not just accidental, but a purpose. According to the Bible, according to the scriptures, he died to deal with our sin. He died to deal with our wrongdoing. His death was essential so that sin could be forgiven. Second, he says he was buried, which seems a little bit of a strange thing to add, doesn't it? That he was buried. But what that tells us is he was really dead, truly dead. He went through the full experience of death and burial. But then he was raised. He was raised to life, just as he said, just as the Bible said he would. So he died on the Friday, buried in the tomb on the Saturday, and then on the Sunday morning raised to life, just as the reading from Luke's Gospel told us. But the question for us today is, do we think he was raised just because the tomb is empty? So that's the explanation. That's what must have happened. Do we just imply he was raised? Well, no, he was seen. And Paul tells us who he was seen by. Paul lists the people who saw him. He talks about Cephas, that's Peter, who is one of his closest disciples. In fact, the disciple who denied him just before he went to be crucified. Tells us that the 12 saw him. Those were the apostles. Those were his closest followers. And then also 500 people all at once. And Paul comments particularly, some of those guys are still alive. You know, if you want to go and talk to them, you can check this out for yourself. You can go and find them. They'll tell you what happened. They'll tell you what they saw. Who else got to see him? Paul carries on. He talks about James. This is not James the apostle. This is James, Jesus' earthly half-brother. If anybody knew Jesus by sight, it was James. And then Paul himself saw the risen, ascended Jesus. Paul was really sceptical. Paul wasn't inclined to believe Jesus was risen, but Paul had seen Jesus for himself. Izzard said, if only somebody would come back, just one. Well, he did, and Jesus was seen, and he taught, and he spoke, and he showed us that resurrection life is a new body as well as a new spirit. He was physically seen. One morning he had kippers for breakfast or whatever else they cooked at the end of John's Gospel, just on the beach as they had fish together. There's reasons to believe he's risen. There are eyewitnesses. I don't know if you've ever had the experience of seeing somebody in a very unusual setting, not really expecting to see somebody, and for a little while you just can't sort of place them immediately. Maybe you see somebody who's really well known and you recognise them, but it's so unexpected to see them, you're not quite sure if it's actually them. My brother-in-law is a teacher, and many years ago, he and his wife went over to the US for a holiday. They were in a Disney theme park, I think, at the time, and suddenly he heard from the other end of the park, "Mr. May! Mr. May!" And one of his pupils ran up to him. Now, those of you who are teachers in the room, that is your worst nightmare, isn't it, to encounter one of your kids on holiday. That is not what you want. You have that experience, don't you, sometimes? You go away somewhere and you see somebody just unexpected, and it just takes time to register who it is. And I wonder if a bit of that is going on in the Gospels, you know. I love the way in the Gospels that the followers of Jesus, they take a while to be persuaded it's him. It's not sort of like immediate. It takes a while for it to sink in. They're not looking for him to be raised to life, even though Jesus said that's what would happen. It's not what they're expecting. So when he does appear, it takes a while. One of the disciples, Thomas, even after all the others have seen him and said, "Look, we've seen him, he says, I'm not buying this at all. I want proof. I want flesh and blood truth. I want to see him. I want to see the wounds. I want to touch them even. And it seems to me that a week later, when he does get to see Jesus, Jesus sort of invites him to come, look, come and examine. It seems to me that Thomas doesn't even need to go and do that. He sees him and he believes. What are we saying here today? That Jesus risen from the dead is evidence. There's eyewitnesses to it. There are historical records for it. And of course, this morning, you can choose to say, well, dead men don't rise. This can't happen. This is fake news. The evidence must be false. Of course, you conclude. You can conclude if you want to. They must have been mistaken. They must have lied. Maybe Jesus was still in the tomb. Maybe the body was stolen. You can put together a whole new story. But if you do that, you need to explain how the frightened disciples became really bold witnesses. You need to explain how they were willing to give their lives for this belief that Jesus was raised from the dead. Christian faith says there's good news to believe and to respond to, and it also says there are good reasons to believe. Now, Christianity is not about turning off our brain and determining that we're just going to believe something with no evidence for it whatsoever because we want it to be true. Now, you may say today, I don't believe this. You might say, I don't really think it happened. But don't think Christianity is just made up about it. It's rooted in events, evidence, and testimony. You can say, I don't believe the evidence. You can't say there's no evidence available. This morning, if you're a bit skeptical about the resurrection, can I ask you, are you willing to open your mind up to the possibility? To consider it, to dig into it more. What I really don't get is why you would say, well, I'm not just going to bother about this at all. I'm not fussed. You know, maybe Jesus did rise from the dead, maybe he didn't. I'm not fussed. Guys, if Jesus is risen from the dead, everything's different. Like, everything's different. If he isn't risen from the dead, Christianity is the biggest con of all time. Later on in this chapter, Paul says, basically, if this isn't true, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, we should be pitied of all people. Guys, if this isn't true, you should be pitied in the room today. The resurrection of Jesus is completely watershed truth. If he's raised, nothing's the same. If he's not raised, every church in the country today is completely wasting its time. Worse than that, we're fooling ourselves. It's just a con. See, this matters. It matters more than anything else. The Bible tells us good reason, good evidence to believe. Jesus is raised and it makes all the difference. So there's good news. There's good news to respond to. There's good evidence to believe. Lastly, this is what Easter Sunday tells us. It tells us this. There are good people who don't go to heaven. There are good people who don't get into heaven. Let me show you how that ties in the passage today. The end of this little passage, Paul, the writer, is talking about himself. He describes himself as an apostle. That was one of the sort of ambassadors of Jesus, left to take the message out about him. And he describes himself as the least of the apostles because he persecuted the church. He went after the church. He attacked the church. That's what he tried to do before he became a follower of Jesus. And it's really good to know that Paul thought he was doing a really good thing in attacking the church. He thought that was exactly what God wanted him to do. He thought the church was teaching wrong things about God. He thought all this talk about God's Son, about Jesus dying on a cross and rising again, he thought that was wicked. He thought that was absolutely wrong. You know, Paul was so serious about being good. He was very serious about living a life that he thought would please God. He thought he was doing all the right stuff. He says in another letter he writes that he had more reasons than anybody else to think he could be accepted by God based on the things he would do. He thought he was good enough. Let me tell you this morning as clearly as I can. I think it's the biggest misunderstanding about Christianity. People think that being a Christian is about being good enough. If you're good enough, God will let you into his heaven. If you try hard, if you be a good neighbor, if you live a decent life, then Jesus will say, come on in, you've done well. Jesus didn't go through death and resurrection because we were good enough, or because we were almost good enough. That was not enough. You know, sometimes in classes at school or uni, there's sort of extra credit, isn't there, to boost your grade. Sometimes we get the idea that we were almost good enough for heaven, and so Jesus came to give us a little bit of extra credit. That little top up so that we would just about make it okay. Nobody was ever good enough to make it into heaven. None of us. None of us. And sometimes we think, well, we fell just a little bit short. We weren't quite up to the mark. We were just a little bit short. A bit like a golf shot. You take your first shot off the tee and you hit the shot and it's a par three and you hit the shot and you come up just a little bit short of the green. That's a bit what we feel like we're like. We almost made it. We were just a bit short. Now, it's actually like trying to drive your ball off the tee and trying to hit the ball from Beeston to London. You know, some of us will probably miss altogether. Looking at a few in the room, I think you'd miss altogether. Some of us would just top the ball and it would go a few yards. Some of us, my father-in-law, would hit it sweetly and it would go 200 yards, maybe 250 in his prime. But it is miles and miles short of London. We're miles short of being good enough to get into God's heaven. Good people don't go to heaven when they die because we're not good enough. None of us are. The resurrection doesn't tell us there's life after death if you're good enough. It tells us Jesus had to die for our wrong actions and our wrong attitudes, and then to rise, to tell us he's the only one who can take us through death. You are not good enough for heaven, but Jesus is. Jesus is. The only vaccine we have against sin and death today is trusting Jesus. And that's a fully 100% guaranteed vaccine. You will not get into heaven by your goodness, but only by his grace. That's what Paul says here. Did you notice in the verses, by the grace of God, I am what I am. His grace was not without effect. You see, even all that he did as a follower of Jesus, he puts down to God's grace. What is grace? It's God's kindness to people who deserve the exact opposite. That's what grace is. This morning, the good news is Jesus has risen. We've seen there's good reason to believe it, good evidence to believe it, but it is not good people who benefit from it. It's people who know they aren't good and who need grace. That's every single one of us in the room. That's every single one of us tuning in online. It's for people who know they aren't good and need grace. People, the gospel's for screw-ups like us, for selfish, grabbing, proud people like us, for people who know they need grace. It's grace from God, not goodness from us. And the events of Easter underline that for us. We need Jesus. Maybe this last point should read, Easter Sunday says, by God's grace, people do get into heaven. By God's grace, people do get into heaven. There's strong hope despite death. There's reason to celebrate today. The discovery of the risen Christ on the first Easter day gave his followers new hope and fresh purpose, and we can all take heart from this. The Queen is right, God bless her. She's right. That's true. Jesus has dealt with sin. He's defeated death, and he's done it. But people like you and me just didn't deserve it. That's why this is such good news. The resurrection of Jesus Christ tells us there's life for the very people who only deserve death. What could be better news than that this morning? And so let me ask you, have you taken hold of that? Have you believed this? Have you taken your stand on it? Are you living in light of it? Have you done that once, but it sort of ebbed away from you and you've stopped doing it? Do you need to take your stand on this again? Do you need to let this be the transforming reality of life for you? This will turn your life and your future upside down if you'll let it. Like, it is the best news you'll ever hear. So are you going to take it to heart? Are you going to trust him? Trust him with your life and trust him in your death. That invitation is for you, all of us, this morning. Whoever you are, whatever you've been, whatever your current struggles or your past situation, it's not about how good you are, but how gracious God is. Easter Sunday is good news of great joy. He's risen. He's risen. And that gives us hope. Let me pray before we have our final song together. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for being so kind to give us the accounts of Jesus' resurrection. Thank you for being so kind to tell us about those who saw him. Thank you for being so kind to show us that they struggled to believe, that they didn't just see and believe and everything was straightforward, that it was so breathtaking, the news, so out of the scope of what they expected, that they took a while for it to sink in. And Lord, the news is so good. We long that it will sink in for us. Father, some of us believe this, some of us hold to this, some of us take our stand upon it, but help us to take this fresh today. Help us to see fresh the good news, the good evidence, the knowledge that it's the only hope we have in life and in death. And for any who are in the room or listening online who don't know this for themselves yet, I pray that they grapple with it. They grapple with the implications of Jesus risen. Not just think about the story, but think about how they respond to that. Lord, we long that all of us would take a response of receiving and standing on this and trusting in Christ. And we pray that now in Jesus' name. Amen.